I fear not the dark itself, but what may lurk within it. Welcome to Lurk, bringing you creepy, strange, and bone-chilling stories with your hosts, Tim Harrison and Jamie Jackson.
Welcome to episode 2, Lurkers. This is Jamie.
And Tim. So, Jamie, question for you. How are you doing on this lovely Sunday morning?
Oh, wonderful.
Just peachy. I love it. I love it. So, Jamie, what are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to go down to Virginia and talk about Old House Woods.
Old House Woods? So, what is it?
Old House Woods is about 50 acres of pine woods. It's mostly pine trees. Marsh, right on the beach. In the Tidewater region of Virginia.
50 acres?
About.
That'd be nice to own.
It's mostly marsh, swampy. I mean, there's some nice waterfront property there. There's some houses that are like $500,000 houses near there, but...
No, so you just got $500,000 houses just chilling around?
Yeah, in a haunted area. That's been haunted for a couple hundred years.
Oh, sounds fine. Sounds reasonable. Sounds great.
Totally.
Let's go buy a house there.
Sure. I'm game.
All right, here we go.
So Old House Woods is located in Matthews County, Virginia, which, like I said, is the Tidewater area right on the Chesapeake Bay. And stories have been passed down through the generations for centuries, like I mentioned. It's 50 acres, give or take, mostly pine trees, marshland. There's a beach. It's actually the area where the public access beach is located. So, very nice area. It's very pretty. It's contained within the area between White's Creek and the Chesapeake Bay. And I have a map here for Tim to look at. And I'm going to share that on the show notes.
So, where is it located on here?
Here's White's Creek. Here's the bay. So, it's in this area here. Down here is the public beach. So it's this area right in here.
So we're going to have to talk real fast. A little off topic. You call that a creek?
Yes. So
that's like a river.
Yeah. In Virginia, we don't call streams creeks. A creek to some people would be a small body of water. A creek in this area is a larger body of water, what some people might consider a river. So we're talking a large body of water.
That's massive.
I wouldn't say massive.
That's massive.
Okay, it's massive. It's massive to Tim's standards. It's normal for me, but...
I got a creek out back behind my house. It's like, you know, very tiny.
That's a stream.
If that's a stream, we're going to have a conversation then. But, all right, so this here creek...
is a creek. Correct. It's not a creek.
Crack creek. No. All same difference. So, continue, Jay. I can't go around big it is. Like, I was just saying. Like,
size doesn't always matter, Tim.
Oh, Jamie. Family show.
Just saying. So it's contained between White's Creek and the Chesapeake Bay. And I just do want to point out that it's this coastline. This map shows the way it is now. Back years ago, even a few years ago, the coastline changes quite a bit. You have erosion, storms. You know, sands shift with the currents, so things change. And the mouth of White's Creek was supposed to be more open to the bay.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to point that out, that, you know, anybody looking at the map, it probably was different back when some of the stories that we were going to bring up happened. And this area basically has almost everything paranormal, in my opinion, except aliens and UFOs.
I think that's the only thing that's missing. I literally think that's the only thing.
Pretty much. We have pirates, we have treasure, we have ghosts, ghost ships, animals. There's even a little true crime in the area. I'm only going to touch upon that. I'm not going to go into deep into that. I think there's even a cryptid in here. I think one of the ghosts that's mentioned could actually be classified as a cryptid.
Really?
Yeah, I think in some of my research, further research and...
Okay.
I happen to be listening to another podcast and...
Well, who is it?
I don't remember which one. I've listened to quite a few lately, but...
Okay.
I do think it's possible that... I remember what it was.
What was
I'm
it?
Sorry. I'm old and it was a brain fart moment. I remember now. It was a YouTube video about British cryptids. That's where it came up.
Really?
Yes. A friend of mine suggested I watch it. So
seriously.
Get some ideas for future episodes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. I like it.
Anyway, moving on. The area, it's called Old House Woods because of an old house in the woods.
I remember when we talked about this prior, I kept messing it up. I was saying house in the woods or something. I was always messing it up.
So there was a house that from like the late 1700s. I've seen it listed as the Fanny Knight House or the Franny Knight House.
Okay.
So either one. And it was located kind of in the middle of the woods. It was abandoned, in disrepair. It was reported to be haunted, though I don't have any specific stories about that house. It was haunted. That's all that you need to know. But apparently the house set itself on fire and then put itself out. And then this is just legend. We're talking a long time ago. I'm not talking like 20 years ago. I'm talking like late 1700s, 1800s, this story comes from. So,
okay.
And then eventually after that, it set itself on fire and it burned down to the ground, to the foundation.
So it set itself on fire, cut itself out, set itself back on fire, then all the way down.
And then decided that was it, and it burned.
Huh.
And since then, there was only a stone foundation left, and since then, the woods have kind of started reclaiming that.
Mother Nature took back over.
Yeah. So that's where the woods gets its name. Already a little bit of haunted ghost stories, craziness going on with that. I don't set a whole lot of store with that house burning down or whatever on its own. I'm guessing that probably came after the fact, and they needed to spooky story to go with it. But it doesn't need any more spooky stories because it's got more than enough. And I am well familiar with this area. So
how are you familiar with it?
Well, my family has property not too far, about 20 minutes from here. Mm-hmm. And this, like I said, is a public beach access. So we go to the beach here. Of course, I have investigated at Old House Woods, been there many times. I do have some EVP and photos. There's a pretty good photo. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
Tim's already looking at stuff, in my papers.
It's creepy. Your 10,000 papers.
And I'm very familiar with it. It is a very creepy place. I will say that. It's very haunted.
Yeah, from what I was reading, it's you gave me a book. What was the book called again?
The book is Ghosts of Virginia by, I believe it's L.B. Taylor.
And I'll put this out there. Reading that is not. That does not make me want to go down anywhere close to this area.
Yeah, he's a pretty good author. There are many, many volumes of The Ghosts of Virginia. I'll put a link to that. I think it's in the first book that he published. But he has many. They're pretty good. So that's where, shockingly, I first learned about Old House Woods.
Remember that book?
By that book. I did not know about it growing up, which is a little strange that I would be that close to it and not know about it. But
it's weird, the fact that, you know, you can live so close to something or be so close to something and just not even know it.
Yeah, I don't think it's talked about a whole lot today like it used to be. I mean, it used to be in the newspapers, so, which is also where I got some of the information.
What is that?
A newspaper. Well, Tim, let me tell you, back in the day, we actually got newspapers delivered to us.
What do you mean? It's not on this, you know, 6-inch phone?
It's on your phone now because that's where I looked it up.
Well, that's newspaper to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I do want to say that I did some of the research. A 1926 article in the Baltimore Sun and a 1950 article, I believe in the Richmond Times Dispatch, I think it is, through a website online. Actually, it was a big enough deal that it actually had several write-ups in large newspapers.
You're setting a pretty good premise here.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're laying down some good foundation.
I am. I'm going to deliver. First story we'll talk about. So in the 17th century, which is the 1600s, there was a crew of a pirate ship that came ashore and buried their treasure. They returned to sea and they died in a storm. On dark nights, people in the area see mysterious figures digging in the woods by the light of what they say looks like tin lanterns. And most believe these to be the ghosts of the dead pirates returning for their gold. So I want to take a moment here and I'm going to define two different types of hauntings.
Okay.
You have your intelligent haunting and your residual haunting. An intelligent haunting is where the ghost or apparition is aware of your presence and they interact with you.
So it kind of has like a mind of its own. It knows what's happening.
Yes, it has intelligent thought, so to speak.
Okay.
That's where the intelligent part of the haunting comes from.
Okay.
It can see you, knows you're there, and interacts with you.
Hopefully one of them don't see me. They look at me and they be like, golly, this fella.
And then a residual haunting would be more of a film strip, which I don't know if anybody, I don't know if, do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what a
film
is. So it just keeps replaying over and over
It would be,
again.
It's an imprint. It's like a scene in history. You know, I don't know.
To kind of explain something real fast, Jamie looked at me and it's like, film strip Tim? Like, her face was like, we on the same page, right? We...
I'm just making sure.
I appreciate it, though, Jen.
I mean, when I was in school, we had film strips.
You know, when
you don't have film strips anymore.
In my tiny little school I went to Brunswick High School. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to put it out there, okay? We were lucky if some of the stuff worked in our school, okay?
I just had to check. Saying that, I want to point out that there are likely both kinds of hauntings that go on here.
Okay.
So I don't mean to, like, jump around here for a minute. So, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but kind of, I'll be honest with you, kind of how the stories were, at least when I was reading, it is a lot of jump back and forth. So it's not like you're trying to mislead us or try to tell, it's literally, this is how it's laid out.
Yeah, I tried to organize it a little bit better so it was more chronological because I'm an organized person and I have to.
You are.
It has to be organized in my head or it's just a mess.
Hopefully we get nice and famous and we can actually set a nice camp. People want to see us actually. We can put a camera on. They'll see like my side is empty, bare, you know, and then they'll see your side is just full of papers. And I mean everywhere's paper. So.
Yes, I can't help it. This haunting here that they mention with the pirate ship crew watching the figures dig, I feel this is more of a residual haunting. I think this is not something that's interacting. It's just people are seeing something, a scene from something before that happened a long time ago, 1600s.
So you think this, what they're seeing is them burying the treasure?
They're seeing that the replaying of them burying the treasure.
Okay.
That's my thought anyway.
That's
could be completely wrong, but that's what I'm thinking.
Hey, you know.
So another version of the story actually claims that Edward Teach, who was Blackbeard, everybody knows who Blackbeard was, that he intercepted the treasure and killed the crew that hid it. And the murdered men are the ones haunting the woods, and that they prey on those who dare to trespass looking for treasure.
That's not cool.
It's kind of cool. It's,
oh, yeah?
It's pirates. It's Blackbeard.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, not that I don't want to, like, you know, glorify people who, you know, murdered and plundered, but pirates are kind of cool, I'm just saying.
I think they're cool, too, with their scurvy and all that that they got going on over there.
So, I do want to point out that there were pirates in the Chesapeake Bay.
Okay.
That's not a stretch to think that they were there.
And I knew that.
I'm not saying you didn't, but some people... Well, you know, wonder. So there actually were quite a few lesser-known pirates in the Chesapeake Bay. Some lived, like, on Kent Island, which is up in the Maryland side of the bay.
Okay.
One actually lived there.
In Maryland?
Yeah. Blackbeard was in the area. Captain Kidd, and I actually found an article in the 1939 Richmond Dispatch News that he was rumored to have buried treasure there at the mouth of White's Creek, which probably not the exact mouth of the creek now, because like I said, things change. And it also made a brief mention of a headless woman's ghost.
Oh!
That's the first time I've ever heard that story. Did not go into detail, unfortunately. I do not have any other story about a headless woman's ghost.
I'm out. I'm gone.
But I do want to throw that. I did want to put that in there. So we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. So
I'm hopping in my paddle boat and I'm paddling. I'm gone.
You got Blackbeard. You got possibly Captain Kidd.
Ghosts, kind
of. Who knows? But they were in the area. They were known to be in the area. Other pirates are known to be in the area. So these stories are not a stretch of the imagination. There is historical fact that pirates were here. And this area probably was not very, well, I know it wasn't very populated. So there aren't many houses there now.
You know, this is back, you said 1600s.
I'm talking 1600s. There were probably, like, basically no houses.
And I mean, pirates back then, I mean, pirates period are ruthless. You know, they especially when you put treasure. I mean, people now, you know, you put money out there now, people act crazy. Imagine back then.
I know. Like, it did mention that the ghosts are supposed to prey on anybody who tries to look for the treasure, which that'll come up a little bit later. I just want to draw your attention to that again. During the second half of the 17th century, which is still in the 1600s, after his defeat at the Battle of Worcester. I think that's how you say it in Worcester? England. Worcester.
Like Worcestershire sauce?
Like Worcestershire. I say Worcestershire.
I'm pretty sure I pronounced it wrong, too, so don't worry.
Anyway, in 1651, Charles II of England considered fleeing to the colony of Virginia. A group of his followers sent several chests of money, plate, and jewels to the colony by ship, and it was supposed to be going to Jamestown, which there was the settlement of Jamestown in Virginia. The ship never made it to Jamestown, but instead apparently ended up sailing up the bay.
Okay.
And it anchored in the waters off the mouth of White's Creek. The treasure was offloaded, but before it could safely be hidden, they were attacked by a band of outlaws. I just say band of outlaws because some say it was a group of renegade indentured servants, and some say it was just like a band of bad guys.
Sounds, you know, either one's not a great time to run into.
Yeah, either one, I would say. Pretty desperate. And that they took part of the loot and planned to come back for the rest, but they perished in a storm when their ship capsized and sank.
These storms are pretty vicious out in that
area. You have nor'easters come up. They're pretty nasty. That's part of the reason why the land changes there. I mean, I've seen a channel cut in there. Well, a little bit further down, there's another beach you could walk to from this area. But I've seen a giant channel cut in there after a nor'easter, and then it get closed back up, and then it come and get cut back through the beach again into a body of water that was behind it. So The storms are pretty nasty. I mean, especially then. I mean, there's no lights, there's no navigational aid, there's no lighthouses, nothing. So
you guys are dimly lit.
Tin lantern.
Yeah, tin lantern.
There's that story. So we got a lot of treasure going on. We're not done yet with treasure. In 1781, just before Cornwallis's defeat at Yorktown, two British officers and four soldiers were entrusted with a huge amount of money and treasure. They slipped through enemy lines, headed north, and they were hoping to find a British ship on the bay, but they ended up burying the treasure in Old House Woods, and then they eventually were found and killed by American cavalry. So just so everybody knows, Jamestown and Yorktown are really not far from this area at all.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these accounts completely plausible as far as geographical location.
And yet there's another story of treasure being buried again.
Another story of treasure. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So I do want to bring up, you know, you have redcoats, the British redcoats going on here. I do want to share an account from the 1926 Baltimore Sun article.
Okay.
Harry Forrest was a resident of the area. I want to share that account of what he witnessed.
I've seen armies of marching British redcoats. I've seen the storm women and heard her dismal wailings, and my mother and I have sat here all hours of the night and seen lights in the woods. We have sat here on our porch overlooking Chesapeake Bay and seen ships anchor off the beach and boats would be put to shore and bodies of men going to the woods. I would see lights over there and hear the sound of digging. Some of them were real men and ships, too. Once over there at Rigney Point, I went out one brilliant November night to shoot black ducks. I found a flock asleep on the little inlet where pine trees come down to the edge of the water. As I raised my gun to fire, instead of them being ducks, I saw they were soldiers of the olden time, and sure as you were born. Headed by an officer, company after company of them formed and marched out to the water. Recovering from my astonishment and bewilderment, I ran to my skiff tied up on the other side of the point. Arriving there, I found a man in uniform, his red coat showing brilliantly in the bright moonlight, sitting upright and very rigid in the stern. I was scared, but mad too, so I yelled at him, "Get out of that skiff, or I'll shoot." "Shoot, and the devil's curse to you and your traitor's breed," he answered, and made as if to strike me with the sword he carried. Then I threw my gun on him and pulled. It didn't go off. I pulled that trigger again. No better result. I dropped the gun and ran for home, and I am not ashamed to say I swam the creek in doing it too.
So that's the account from Mr. Forrest, a resident of the area.
Well, let's start off with the first thing, redcoats. You know, seeing them around that time, I don't think it was not too crazy, you know.
Well, at that point, yes, they were gone. I mean, when he says he saw redcoats,
oh,
we're done. The revolution is done. We're America. America. He's giving this account in 1926.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
We run it. You see anybody in a red coat with a British hat, you know, something wrong. Something wrong.
Yeah, either there's something wrong with the person you're seeing wearing the British red coat and a tricorn hat because they're wearing a British red coat and a tricorn hat walking around swampy woods, or it's not a real person. So either way, there's something wrong.
Yeah, both of them are not good situations. And then no. Storm Woman? Storm Woman?
Yeah, we're going to talk about her.
Storm Woman.
Storm Woman.
Like from X-Men or whatever?
No, not Storm. It's a different.
That sounds like a lady I don't really want to make mad.
Probably not.
And then one thing that kind of adds credibility to this story more. So a lot of people are kind of probably might be wondering, why is he hunting ducks at night? Ducks actually at nighttime sit down in ponds. Mm-hmm. That's where they rest and sleep. And actually it's illegal now to go hunting at nighttime. Actually, you can't even hunt till the sun comes up.
Right. Sunrise to sunset.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, decimating the duck population, things like that. And also, long story short, you just don't hunt ducks while they're sleeping. That's not right.
Exactly. Back then was a different story. 100%. I mean, the populations were huge, and that's basically how people, that's how they got food a lot of times, was they went hunting.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
People eat what they hunt now, just now grocery stores are more prevalent, and back then, there weren't too many.
Hey, back then, get it as you can get it. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
pretty much.
But if you walked around a bend and you're over here thinking you see something, and it turns out it's some guy just chilling in a skiff talking to you, nope, not today.
And tries to hit you with a sword?
I'm running. And then you try to pull a gun. You try to pull a trigger and don't shoot.
And it doesn't. I would swim the creek, too.
I don't know if I'm swimming. I might run across the water. I'm out.
And I'll say, swimming the creek, I've been swimming in the creeks, not necessarily in this specific area, but, you know, where we have property, you know, where our family has property. I wouldn't swim the creek at night. I sound like I go investigate these places, but I'm really kind of a pansy. So there are jellyfish. There are sharks, but not jaws. I mean, we're not talking jaws. Well, thank you, Tim, for that, because I probably will never swim in that creek again.
What? Bull sharks are one of the only creeks?
I've never seen a bull shark back there.
You've never seen a bull shark back there?
No, and I hope never to see a bull shark
back
there.
Well, if you see it, it's a little too late. That's all I got to say.
Pretty much. There are, like, smaller sand sharks is what we've caught before. I know there are bull sharks in the Potomac. I am well aware that they're there, but I tell myself that they're not.
Oh, they're going to come get
there
you.
There are tiger sharks, but they don't come back where we swim, typically.
They're going to bring their friends jaws.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Thank you. And they're snapping turtles. That's the other thing that I've seen, that, like, you know, large snapping turtles. And that's today, where you populations of things aren't quite what they were back then. Swimming the creek, that was a little break. At night, that's something I personally would not do. I mean, I would if I saw somebody sitting in a skiff trying to hit me with a sword, and that's, you know, it's either get in your skiff or swim the creek.
Mm-hmm.
I'm swimming the creek.
You know, Pirates of the Caribbean?
Oh, gosh, yes.
You know how when the moonlight hits them and they turn like the skeleton?
Yes.
I bet you, like, when he looked at that and the captain or whoever that boat turned and looked at him. Oh, I bet you.
All I gotta say
that.
Is when I was researching, that's what I see in my mm-hmm. head when I hear all of these stories.
Yep.
Well, there's actually a story that's not actually pretty close to similar. I mean, not pirate ships, but we'll get there. But
okay.
This is what I see. I see the same thing in my head. That's not a description of any of them. They're all normal people, not skeletons. But in my head, it's Pirates of the Caribbean.
I'm thinking 110%. I need to stop delaying you. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So there's a little bit more believable. Another buried treasure story here. It's a little bit more feasible to some people that it might actually be true. But like I said, everything else I mentioned, there is some historical fact to back up that it could possibly have happened. During the Civil War, a lot of Union forces came down into the area, and they raided houses all the time. In fact, my family, my great-great-great-grandmother, was attacked at her house, and that's why her husband, my 3 times great-grandfather, moved her to Maryland, where he was actually in the Union Navy, and he moved her closer to where he was stationed because of that. So, again, historical fact, this did happen in the area.
That's rough.
And they would take livestock, valuables. And there was an old man who lived near Old House Woods, and he had a reputation of being very, very honest. He had a strict honesty policy, and he also was kind of a miser, so he's saved money. Because they were all alarmed, concerned that their valuables would be stolen, they gave their valuables to him and entrusted him to hide them in the hopes that they'd keep them safe. So the Yanks, as the story referred to them, the Yanks ended up capturing the old man, ransacked his home, and tried to force him to reveal where he had hidden valuables. But he told them nothing. They got nothing out of him. It's said that for whatever reason, not all the valuables were ever recovered, and that they're still out there in the woods somewhere.
That's crazy.
And that is a little bit more believable than, I mean, a lot of people, pirates are a big stretch, even though pirates were there. And that, I mean, in my head, that's perfectly believable too. But this is a little bit more current, in a way, closer to nowadays. And this it's is something that happened. We're 1860s. And it did happen. They did raid houses in South. It happened.
It happens now in other countries. I mean, look, when war is war, everything is off limits. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Survival is key. So as sad as it sounds, you know, and as tough as it sounds. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, continue.
All right. So we have another account from the same Baltimore Sun article from 1926. And this account was from Jesse Hudgens. He was a prominent businessman in the area. So you're talking very respected citizen.
Not looking to get any fame, not looking to try to bring his name. If anything, this will drag his name through the mud in terms.
In a way, yes. Yeah. But, you know, in that area, everybody knows about Old House Woods. Everybody knows about it. It's not talked about in mainstream paranormal circles. Mm-hmm. It's maybe here and there you hear it, but for the most part, it's not talked about. And I have no clue why, because it's got everything. So let me share this account with you.
Old House Woods is haunted. I would advise you to stay away from there. You can't defy the guardian spirits that watch over the place and get away with it. Probably there's gold buried there, lots of it. But for all I care, or anyone else that lives in the neighborhood, it can remain there until the crack of doom. I am not apologetic or ashamed to say I have seen ghosts in that woods. I do not care whether I am believed or not. I saw them there once. Not once, but a dozen times. What I saw cannot be explained in any satisfactory way, except that it was supernatural. I was 17 when I first saw a ghost or spirit or something in Old House Woods. Late one October night, our dear neighbor came over to our farmhouse and asked me to drive to Matthews for the doctor. One of his children was seriously ill. We had no telephone down there in those days. When the doctor was needed, there was no alternative but to drive to the village and get him. So I hitched up our horse and headed to town. The night was windy and promised a storm before many hours. Scudding clouds concealed a half moon that hung low in the sky. But I could see well. And, like any other light-hearted boy, I whistled as I drove along. Nearing the old house itself, about 50 yards ahead of me, I saw a light moving along the road in the direction I was going. My horse, usually afraid of nothing, cowered and trembled violently. And I felt vaguely uneasy myself. I had seen lights on the road before at night, but they always were a source of comfort and companionship. This one was different. There was something awesome and unearthly about it. The rays seemed to come from nowhere, and yet they moved with the bearer. I gained on the nocturnal traveler, and as I stand here before you, what I saw was a big man wearing a suit of armor. Over his shoulder was a gun, the muzzle end of which looked like a fish horn. As he strode or floated along, he made no more noise than a summer zephyr. My horse stopped dead still. I was so weak with terror and horror that gripped my very marrow, I couldn't even say get up. I was nearly 20 feet from the thing, or whatever it was, when it too stopped and faced me. At that same instant, the woods, about 100 feet beyond the wayfarer, became alive with lights and moving forms. Some of them carried guns like the ones borne by the man or the thing in the road. Others carried shovels of an outlandish type, while still others dug furiously near a dead pine tree. As my gaze turned to the first shadowy figure, what I saw was not the man in armor, but a skeleton. And every bone of it was visible through the iron armor as if it were made of glass. The skull, which seemed to be illuminated from within, grinned at me horribly. Then, raising aloft the sword, which I had not hitherto noticed, The awful specter started towards me menacingly. I could stand no more. Reason left me. When I came to, it was broad daylight, and I was lying upon my own bed at home. Members of my family said the horse had run away. They found me at the turn of the road beyond Old House Woods. You must have fallen asleep when the old Tom reached the corner and he turned too quickly, struck the fence, they told me. Physically, I was not hurt. The best proof I had not fallen asleep was this. We could not even lead Tom by the old house for months afterward, and to the day he died, whenever we approached the woods, he would tremble violently and cower. It was pitiful to see that fine animal become such a victim of terror. Now, don't you think the horse saw just what I saw? When the neighbor came to our house and asked me to go for the doctor, I was reading a book, and I would not have retired for 2 hours.
Yeah, no. Okay, I'm going to put this out here right now. I don't care anybody I say. Okay, if you can make a 2,000-pound animal scared. I don't hear nothing about horses are skittish, this, that, and third. When a horse is trembling in fear, shaking nervously, that's a 2,000-pound animal, okay? Not today. I'm gone. I'm turning back around. I know you need a doctor and all that. I'm sorry, buddy.
Well, I will say that I had a horse named Tim. No joke.
It's a good horse.
His name was Tim Bucks, too. We just called him Tim.
That's okay. I go by Timmy sometimes.
He was afraid of pine trees and cows. So some horses are weird. But
I mean, listen.
But I believe that this horse was, you know, probably traveled this road hundreds and hundreds of times. I believe that he, when he says it did, was not afraid of the area. And I mean, I believe that this was something totally not typical of this horse, because there aren't a lot of roads here. So if they're living out towards Old House Woods and have to go through by Old House to get to town, which is Matthews, that's right, the name of the town, there aren't, I mean, there, it's not like, oh, I'm going to take this different road. There really aren't any different roads.
And this is going to sound really terrible, and they kind of give a little people a warning here, but I'll be upfront, you know, back then, you know, if the animal was not doing what it's supposed to do, it was no longer a usable creature. At that point in time, it's a waste of their money. It's a waste of their time. So either they'll sell it for something, or they'll kill it to eat it. You know what I mean? I'm just being honest.
People didn't eat horses.
I'm not saying that, but you know what I mean? Like, they wouldn't have kept this horse and fed this
horse.
They
wouldn't have kept... Well, they might have. I mean, depending on how old it was. I mean, it sounds like the horse would go through the woods eventually, but was not comfortable doing it anymore.
And well, and then at the end of the story, it wouldn't even go around. It wouldn't go around. Well, it was around the corner, am I correct? Or even anywhere near that road. It was trembling.
Well, in the beginning, they had to lead him past. They wouldn't go past. And then eventually it would go, but it was afraid to do so.
Yeah, I mean,
if you saw a skeleton in armor where, like Pirates of the Caribbean, you can see the bones through the armor. It's a poop your pants moment.
I mean,
moment.
But he felt it. You know what I mean? If he feels it, horses are sensitive.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, horses can pick up on your fear and stuff like that. What do you think that horse is picking up on?
That horse was terrified.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, that horse is telling him, hey, not today. Let's get going there, big fella. Make a U-turn. We ain't coming back here again.
Exactly.
As you were reading, I'd yell, not today. Nope, I'm gone. Listen, nope.
And then you're talking, it's dark. But there's no street lights there.
And then he said, oh, you know, the lights are normally, like, comforting him. This one wasn't. You know,
yeah.
He felt, he was like, oh, this ain't right. No.
He knew right away. Yep. And then the whole woods erupts with movement. And I do want to point out the gun. The description of the gun mentioned a fish horn. And I did have my research team, which was my cousin. Thanks, Kelly.
A fish horn.
She looked it up. It was actually something that fishmongers or people sold fish used. I don't know exactly what it was, but it had a wide end. So basically the gun that he's describing is similar to a blunderbuss, which is the gun, the old gun that flares out at the end and has the big round muzzle end.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to point old.
It's,
so
it's
fits
old.
Fits the armor
and this
time
was
period.
1926, am I correct?
That he told the story.
Yeah, he told the story.
Yeah, it happened prior to that, when he was 17. So he was an adult when he was telling the story in 1926. So you're probably talking
1880 to 1920, probably.
Early 1900s, late 1800s, early 1900s. I don't know how old he was when he gave this account, so I'm not 100% sure. But
you don't think that gun would be in use during that time, do you? I don't think it would be.
What, the gun? Oh, gosh, no.
So, mm-hmm. Clearly, you know, it's a gun that he was.
It would have been a collectible at that point.
Yeah.
So,
I've never seen one.
I've only seen them in photos. I've never actually seen one in person. Not only did this thing in suit of armor have it, but he also mentioned that when the woods lit up, there were people with similar guns. So you've got more than one thing with the gun, weird shovels, and then some of them were digging. So you could say, sure, somebody's pranking them, and one person has that gun.
That's a lot of dedication.
That's a lot of people, a lot of dedication to try to prank somebody. And you're not going to find more than one of those guns, I would think, at that time period. It's not like everybody has them.
He said large. Like, he said it was, like, the dude was big. Mm-hmm. The guy that he saw was a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
No.
It was a skeleton.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah.
No.
I know.
A large skeleton, huh?
Yes.
Listen, you tell, what's that thing of Nightmare Before Christmas or whatever? Jack Skellington?
Yeah.
You tell him he can go take a hike. We gone.
I mean, Jack Skellington is not scary, Tim.
No, but he's tall and skinny, okay?
So this isn't the only account of suit of armor skeleton guy.
I'm just trying to figure this out, like, because, you know, everybody out there, you always got to play, like, that double sword, right? You got to be that devil's advocate. What if they say that, you know, this guy that magically needed a doctor, you know, and he took the time to actually play this out? You know how much dedication it would take for them not to, like, geek and laugh, or how much, like, stuff, makeup or whatever would have to go to make them look like real skeletons?
I mean, you're talking early 1900s.
And none of that's around.
At the earliest. I mean, like, based on the time frame, you're talking early 1900s that this account happened. Back then, that you just had to go into town to get the doctor. I don't think that was made up at all. I think
if you're asking someone for a doctor, it's not for, like, oh, my nose looks funny. It's a serious issue.
Right.
So I'm just going to put that out there. There's no way this could be staged.
I don't think that it was. So there's another account of a witness who saw a suit of armor, skeleton.
So the skeleton's not scary enough. You got to put it in armor.
It's in armor. And when I say armor, everybody's probably thinking, oh, gosh, now we're talking medieval times. No, people, 1600s, early 1700s, there were some pirates who wore kind of like the Spanish conquistador metal helmet. I don't think they're talking like suit of armor, like
Rowan
medieval
like
suit
that.
Of armor. I'm thinking more 1600 suit of armors is what I'm talking
the
about.
The raiding ships. Come on now.
Exactly.
They grab what they can grab.
Yes. So I want to throw that out there. There was a Richmond, Virginia youth who had tire trouble. So we're talking age of cars at this point.
Henry Ford, baby.
He had tire trouble near Old House Woods, it was late at night, and he was kneeling down to change his tire when he heard a voice behind him ask, "Is this the King's Highway? I've lost my ship." And when he turned to look at the person speaking to him, he saw a skeleton in armor standing within a few feet of him. So the guy ran screaming.
Why turn? Like, why? So you're telling me right now you're changing a tire, someone asked you that.
Late at night.
Yeah.
So the kid ran screaming, and he left his car until the next day. So he didn't come back for his car until the next day.
Yeah, that car.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That poop in your pants, diarrhea down the street, you're gone. Look, there ain't no way. Jamie, there ain't no way. And here's the thing. He didn't hear him walk up behind him.
Right.
There's no clanging of the metal. There's no nothing.
Wait till you hear one of my stories. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to foreshadow a little bit and tell you, wait till you hear something that happened.
I don't like this, Jamie.
I'm getting cold
chills over here.
I did not see a skeleton in armor, so I'm just throwing that out there. I don't want people to think, oh my gosh, she saw it. I didn't.
Okay.
But
you didn't see Jack.
You just got to remember the skeleton in armor story and you asking about clanging metal, whatever. I'm going to tell my story.
Oh, okay.
When I tell it. I'm going to save that for a little later.
All right. So basically what you're saying is, Tim, shut up.
No. I'm just... So now we're going to jump to the Storm Woman, which was mentioned in that first eyewitness account.
100%.
Basically, it's the ghost of a woman that is seen before a storm.
Okay. Like,
hence, the Storm Woman.
So she's like conjuring it?
No, more warning. They think she's more of a warning that there's a storm coming.
Okay.
She's described as wearing a nightgown, has long fair hair that appears to be blown around or whipped around by wind. So she looks like wind's blowing her hair, but there's no wind.
At all.
There's not necessarily any wind at all when they see her. She has a blue, greenish, otherworldly glow about her, so she kind of glows. She rises above the trees, wails, and warns the watermen in the area that a storm is coming.
So she's kind of like a beacon of like, hey, get out of here.
Watch out. Yeah. Okay. So two men saw something white standing in the trees one time, and when they went for a closer look, they saw it was a woman in white, and she was walking through the pine trees. And as she walked, she began rising up in the air until she was above the tops of the trees, where she disappeared. They didn't hear her wailing, but a vicious storm did blow in off the bay later that night.
That's, I mean, I don't know how to say it. I mean, you can call that a good luck charm. You know what I mean? At least she's warning you.
Yeah, she's kind of warning. I've never had the pleasure of seeing the storm woman. I do.
I don't.
She doesn't scare me.
She scares me.
She's floating above the trees saying, hey, there's a storm coming. That doesn't scare me.
That doesn't scare you?
No, I don't think I'd be scared by that.
So you cool with just turning around? There's a woman floating
above. A woman in white not paying any attention to me?
Floating above trees.
Whatever.
Being like, Jamie, that's not about the storm. Get inside!
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God. But you're telling me right now, you turn around, you see like this bluish, greenish glow, woman all in white, chilling above a 50-foot tree in the air, hovering above it. You ain't going to be like, hold up.
I've seen strange things in my investigations of places, and I've seen something close, and it didn't scare me.
Remember how we talked about we're supposed to do like investigations and stuff like that together?
Yes.
We're going to cross that off. Okay, because I'm going to be pooping myself over here in the corner. You're like, what's wrong, Tim? That's normal. It's all right.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Oh, I'm going to be screaming like a little girl. Oh, I know what's happening. I'm like, James is going to be like, Tim, it's okay. We haven't got out of the car yet. You see the bus?
Oh, God. All right, so we're going to move off from the storm woman because she's pretty tame.
It's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, she's not doing anything mean or malicious. She's just trying to warn people. We're going to talk about some ghost ships.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah. The ghost ships. And
why?
Because this place has everything, like I said, except UFOs and aliens.
Jack Sparrow can keep his ship, all right? Nobody wants his
ghost. I like Jack Sparrow. If he showed up, I'd share some rum with Jack Sparrow.
You better be careful because he might drink the whole thing, give you like a little drop, and then like somehow sweet talk you to buy more rum.
I'd get him more rum.
That man got a silver tongue.
That's I'm not even going to touch that. All right. So, ghost ships. They've been seen many times. Sometimes from afar, so off in the distance. And sometimes pretty up close and personal. We're going to hear about an account of somebody who witnessed one pretty up close and personal. So
the feeling they probably got. Oh,
this is another account from the 1926 Baltimore Sun article. This was a really big article in the Baltimore Sun.
People freak out when they see ghosts. Like, imagine seeing an entire ship.
This is probably one of my favorite accounts. I mean, the ghost skeleton, that's a pretty good story, but this is probably my favorite eyewitness account of the three that we're sharing in this episode.
Now I'm eager to hear it.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites.
One stormy night, I was fishing off of the mouth of White's Creek, well out in the bay. As the flood tide would not set for some time, I concluded to get the good fishing and come home with the early moon. It must have been after midnight when, as I turned to bait up a line in the stern of my boat, I saw a full-rigged ship in the bay standing pretty well in. I was quite surprised, I tell you. Full-rigged ships were mighty scarce back then. Besides that, I knew she was in for it if she kept that course. On the ship came, with lights at every masthead and spar, I was plumb scared. They'll run me down and sink me, I thought. I shouted to the sailors leaning over her rails forward, but they paid no heed to me. Just as I thought she would strike me, the helmsman put her hard aport, and it passed so close that I almost swamped by the wash. She was a beautiful ship, but different from any I had ever seen. There are no ships like her on any ocean. She made no noise at all when it had gone by. The most beautiful harp and organ music I ever heard came back to me. The ship sailed right up the beach and never stopped, but it kept right on over the sandy beach. She swept floating through the air and up the bay shore road, her keel about 20 feet from the ground. I could still hear the music, but I was scared out of my wits. I knew it was not a real ship. It was a ghost ship. Well, sir, I pulled up my anchor and started home up the White's Creek. I could see that ship hanging over Old House Woods just as though she were anchored in the sea. And running down through the woods was a rope ladder lined with forms of men carrying tools and other contraptions. When I got home, my wife was up but had no supper for me. Instead, she and the children were praying. I knew what was the matter. Without uttering a word, she pointed to the Old House Woods, a look of terror on her face. She and the children had seen the ship standing over that woods. I didn't need to ask her. I began to pray too.
So that account was Ben Ferbey or Ferbey. It's spelled both ways. And that was a 1926 Baltimore Sun article. Sometime before 1926 this happened.
No. Jamie, just no. No. Like, no. Okay, just...
That, now this would scare me. This, mostly because you're kind of vulnerable in a boat on the bay. It's dark. I'm uncomfortable being on a boat on smaller bodies of water late at night because it's dark. If I'm out there fishing by myself and a big old ship nearly swamps me, I mean, it's real enough that he says he almost gets swamped, so capsized from the wake of the ship, basically, is what he's saying. The wash. He's wake of the ship going by almost swamps his boat. So it's real enough that it's creating a wake.
So when you're reading the story, now in my head, I was like, well, if it's making a wake, like, it has to be a real boat, right? Then he goes, oh, yeah, it just keeps on going. It floats over the sand. Then it goes over the tree. So before we get into Tim's freak out moment here, my question is for you, is this residual or intelligent?
This, I would say, is probably residual.
Okay, because the water probably goes up over that, over the where the...
Accounts say that it floats above the trees, so that part is weird. But coming up over the beach, chances are, was not there at that time, and the beach was possibly further out. Because, like I said, erosion, I mean, you're talking 100 years ago, just the account. Mm-hmm. That's not even when this actually happened. So a little over 100 years ago, it changes all the time.
And this is the part that gets me right. It's one thing for one person to see it. He goes home, hasn't told his wife or his kids yet. Hasn't said anything to him. And probably, in my opinion, he probably won't say nothing to his kids. He'll probably say something to his wife, though, like in secrecy, like in private, like, hey, you won't believe what just happened to me. He comes home and they're praying because they saw it. That's enough. Like that's it. That, I'm sorry. Again, I don't know what real estate's like. I'm selling. We're digging, you know, bunker, and we're hiding.
He actually packed up his family and moved to the city.
What a smart... Well, I don't like the city, but what a smart man, though. Like, pack up, get gone. Now, because most people... granted, most people don't have the luxury of leaving immediately, right? But golly, like, that's enough. That's enough. You're not talking, like, again, you're not talking a woman. You're talking a ship. And then he said he saw people leaning over, like, the sides of it.
Yep, there was a crew on the ship, manning the ship. And he even mentions, when he saw this... A full-rigged ship is basically what you would imagine a pirate ship. So several masts, lots of sails, wooden. It's a wooden ship.
The detail he saw, too. Yeah. It was pretty.
Yeah, I mean, he the detail. And he knows there aren't ships like that at his during his time, his lifetime. There were no ships like that out there. It's not like it's some. It's not like, you know, he's been drinking too much.
Yeah.
You know.
See.
And he's imagining something real, and he's adding stuff to it. I mean, this type of ship was not even common at this point in time, and he knows. I mean, he's a waterman, he's a fisherman, he's on the water, he's familiar with what's there, and he knows it's not something he should be seeing.
No, and you know what's crazy too? The one thing I would really, really would love to be actually like sitting on the interview when they're like him giving the story was like, well, what did your wife see? Like, if his wife could recount just even 50% of what he saw, like, come on. I mean,
she probably didn't see quite the detail.
Oh, because it's
but she saw it over the woods, and that's why I like this account, is that he's telling his story. But then, I mean, granted, it's according to him, but his wife and children saw the exact same thing at the same time from a different viewpoint.
That's crazy, and he hadn't got home yet. Like, he got home after the fact.
Yes. And it was still probably floating there. I mean, that's probably why she was there praying. He probably wasn't too far from home.
Whew.
If he was out in the bay and he lives down White's Creek, well, it probably took him a little bit to get home, but he probably wasn't too far.
You know, he watched that go near his house. Like, he watched it and it was like, oh, I need to get home now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep. Man.
There's another account. There was a 14-year-old boy from Matthews, which is the town.
The town that's down the way, right? Past Old House Woods.
The town, yeah. To get to Old House Woods, you kind of drive through. Now, you come to a stop sign and you go straight. And if you turn right, then you go into, it's called Matthews Courthouse. And that's not the courthouse. I mean, the courthouse is there, but that's what they refer to as downtown. Like, that's the downtown section. That's how they refer to it there.
Anytime you're in a courthouse, it's not a good thing unless you're getting married.
You go straight. So you kind of like hit the edge of Matthews.
Okay.
To get to Old House Woods.
This is
so he's from Matthews, and he was tasked with taking a boat from the yacht club over to, it's a town called Moon, Virginia.
He
was
14-year-old?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A yacht boat?
It didn't say how big the boat was. It was just at the yacht club, but it's not necessarily a yacht. I mean, the yacht club, most of them store all kinds of boats.
You know what I was doing at 14? You better not let me drive a boat at 14 years old.
Well, I wouldn't let my son drive a boat at 14. I mean, my dad lets him drive the boat when he's standing there, but I wouldn't be like, hey, here's the keys. Go take this over here. So it requires you go up one creek called Stutz Creek to Billups Creek. So it's not super far away. I'm not sure if it's on the map here. I believe this is, yeah, okay, so this says United States Postal Service. He's taking it near the Moon, Virginia Post Office, which this is the new post office. The original one was probably right on the creek. So this is the creek he's coming down. The other creek is like over here.
Okay. We're looking at the Google Maps.
Yes, I will be posting a link to Google Maps, so you'll be able to kind of.
It's probably like right up over here, you said.
It's probably down this way, but. Okay. He's taking it around a point or a peninsula.
So technically it's not too far.
Yeah, it's not that far away. He said it was after sunset. It was kind of foggy out. He's about a half mile from the mouth of the creek, and there was a big sailing ship floating in the marsh that had 2 to 3 masts made of wood, and it was floating in about only a foot of water, but it was floating. And he described it as the kind of ship pirates used.
No.
So he watched it while he drifted about 100 yards, and then it disappeared.
Why? No. Like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Yes. And then Harry Forrest, who he was our first account that we read, he actually was quoted in a 1950 Baltimore Sun article. Baltimore Sun really was fascinated with Old House Woods.
Well, why? Like, my thing is how to go away. You know what I mean? Baltimore Sun's a big reporting service.
I mean, stuff still happens there. Probably not as frequently. I mean, but we're going to hear about stuff that I experienced. But he said he was out fishing right off the beach in broad daylight when he saw a full-rigged ship headed straight for him, and it was about 100 yards away. He rowed to shore really fast and then watched it drift over the beach to the woods, and then he said he could he could hear the anchor chains clank as they put the anchor out. And
like they're stopping.
Yeah, and again, over the beach. So it goes over the beach. And like I said, that's not unusual. And even the floating in the 1 foot of water, things would have been different back when this ship was real. You know, like if this is a residual haunting and this you're watching something that happened long ago, replay, the water levels could have been completely different.
Jamie, I'm going to put this out here, okay? If that ship comes by me, rank-a-dink-a-clinking, you know what I mean, and the anchor goes down, I don't want to see what gets off that ship.
No.
I'm good.
He did not mention anything other than that. He did mention that he saw a warship.
War?
Yeah. It was actually, there's a quote here that he says he used to see all sorts of lights over in here, and always a battleship before every war. I saw one exactly like the Maine sail over here just before the Spanish War started. The Maine was a ship. I looked it up. Harry Forrest in this 1950 account had some pretty interesting stories. Some of them I'm not sharing because they seemed like he might have liked some attention.
So he started started pulling some fabrication out of nowhere.
Yeah, so I think maybe he, you know, talked, you know, made up some stuff. For the most part, I believe, I mean, his accounts go along with other people. So I'm not sure about the battleship part. That may have been ad-libbed. I'm throwing it out there.
It's a shame, too.
Y'all can decide for yourself, but...
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a shame, too, because he has such credibility. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he had credibility in 1926. By 1950, I'm not... not all his stuff is factual.
Maybe the elevator stop didn't go all the way up anymore.
It's possible.
You know, I mean, at that point in time, I bet you he's probably, what, 50, 60 years old? Maybe even older?
It's 25 years later. I have no... I mean, yes, he was older. There was a photo of him in the article, so he was older.
I mean, he could be losing it.
I don't know. He could be a very nice man. I don't want to... You know, if any family of Harry Forrest is listening, I'm not saying he was. No. I'm just saying I think he was a storyteller. By the time he got older.
I don't want to come off as that guy, and if I do, I'm sorry. But, you know, I just wanted to put it out there. Like, you know,
people get older,
their mind tends to slip after seeing stuff like this for a long time.
I could be completely wrong, and he could be completely factual, and everything that he saw actually happened. Because that place is creepy.
What's
that
old saying? Facts are stranger than fiction?
Yeah, truth is stranger than fiction. Yeah. So, and I do one more mention about the ghost ship. There was a mention that people had seen a ghost ship that turned into a washtub.
What?
That had an old hag aboard crooning or singing. That was in a little blurb in a news article. Yeah. I don't really believe that. I think that was a BS.
So it's like doo, doo, doo.
Yeah. Thanks for the sound effects. Trying to give everybody as much information as I found. I found it to be amusing. I don't believe that.
I wonder if she scrubbed her back.
Maybe.
That's a good question to ask.
I don't want to watch. So
apparently she didn't care.
Apparently not. We're not done. There's more.
Is
that what I say? But wait. There's more. Yeah, there's more.
How freaky can this place get?
Yeah. We thought we had it all because we have buried treasure, we have ghost pirates, we have ghost soldiers, ghost ships. Now we have ghost animals.
Oh, God, great.
Some of them don't have heads.
Yeah, lovely. I guess the hellhound must have nibbled it off or something.
Well, we're going to talk about something similar to the hellhound. God. That's what I'm talking about, cryptid. Why? But first, there was a woman who lived in the area of Old House Woods, obviously, and she went to bring in the workhorses from pasture, and she went down, she drove them down the lane, and by driving them down the lane, I mean she was behind them, herding them down towards the barn.
This just doesn't even sound like a good story. Okay. It's already starting off bad.
Mm-hmm. She's herding them down to the barn. She arrives at the gate, and she calls for her husband to open the gate to let them in. He doesn't respond, so she's a little irritated, I'm sure. As all women are when their husbands don't do what they're supposed to.
Hey, we sometimes don't listen to this.
Yeah, well,
that's why y'all love us.
Yeah, a little more than sometimes. Just saying. I'm just joking. Not really. She ends up opening the gate herself. She opens the gate and her husband comes out laughing. He's laughing at her and he's like, I put the horses away 2 hours ago. She turns to let the team of horses, the two horses in the barn, but instead of two horses, she sees two large headless dogs running off towards Old House Woods.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yes. So, I do want to point out, I did look it up, that apparently some pirates use Spanish Mastiffs aboard their ships as guard, which were large dogs. Some Mastiffs are black. I also want to point out that...
Jamie, please don't pull any pictures out.
I'm not pulling any pictures of headless dogs, Tim.
No, not that, you know.
Okay, so...
Something creepy.
There is a cryptid that is referred to as Black Shuck, which is a black dog.
Okay.
He's sometimes considered a demon, sometimes considered a ghost.
Oh, God.
You know, there's lots of black dog, hellhounds, all kinds of stuff. But in Scotland, there's one that's known to guard treasure.
Another mention of treasure.
It's a black dog that guards treasure. And a lot of times, and this is going to be important in a little bit, they are accompanied by the smell of brimstone or sulfur.
Like a demon would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was the cryptid I mentioned, that the black dogs that people are seeing, and even sometimes these hellhounds sometimes do show up headless too. So that's part of their story. I don't want to get too involved and go off on a tangent with them, but I do want to throw that out there. Are these ghost dogs or are these hellhounds that are guarding a treasure?
Well, to put it out like this, you're looking... I just looked up a Spanish Mastiff, right? And these dogs, females can range from 28 to 36 inches. And males are 30 to 36 inches.
Yeah, Mastiffs are large. They can be like 150 pounds. I used to have a Mastiff mix.
So, either way, that's a big freaking dog. That's a big dog. You're seeing something big.
Yes.
And to kind of put in perspective, what is this table, about 3 feet off the ground?
Probably.
So you're telling me that dogs come up to here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nah, yeah, they're big dogs.
Not today.
Yeah.
Not today. I'm running.
There's been reports of ghost livestock, ghost dogs. Some of them have heads. Some of them don't. Pastures. Yeah.
The headless parts is even crazier.
And there's been some mysterious disappearances of both humans and animals around Old House Woods. Two gentlemen, Locke Owens and Pidge Morgan, they came through the woods with steer on their way back from a cattle auction, and no one has seen them since.
Oh, gosh.
The steer, the carts, everything disappeared.
Just gone.
Gone. Owens had a small black dog, and the only sign of the group was that they found some hair that they said was from the dog's tail.
If y'all can see my face right now, that's Jamie.
I just ignored him. I just
I don't drink, but I'm going to have to be drunk before I go there. There is no way.
A gentleman by the name of Tom Pipkin, he was a local fisherman, and in 1880, he got a case of gold fever. Okay. You know, we've got a crap ton of gold buried in this marshland.
Yeah, why not? With a bunch of other weird one on too.
Yes.
But let's ignore that part.
So he took his small boat into the woods and was following an old channel that some say was cut by pirates 2 centuries before. I will say that when you look at Google Maps, there's a couple little small, very small waterways. I don't see a channel that they're referring to, but again, everything changes constantly. But it is very, very marshy in some areas. So,
also, high tide, low tide plays an effect as
well,
too.
Yep, the water is very close to the surface. The groundwater's. I just want people to think, you know, they walking around in their woods, it's like there's no way there's a channel cut in here. But this area, we're talking marsh, swamp, very wet.
You're stepping down, your foot sinks 4 or 5 inches because of the water.
Yes. He takes his boat in to go look for some gold. And then several days later, his boat was found floating in the bay, and all it had in it were 2 gold coins and a battered silver cup that was covered with slime and mud. The coins were said to be Roman, and the letters IVVS were visible on the coin. That was all that could be made out because the coins were so old. There was no sign of Tom Pipkin. No one would take his boat. It was...
Yeah,
gifted to people, and they didn't want it, and it actually rotted away on nearby Gwyn's Island, and he was never found.
And what was that dog? Black what?
Black Shuck.
I mean, aren't they protectors of gold? I mean...
They are, but if you remember in the beginning, I said that the ghost of the pirates took vengeance on anybody who tried to look for their treasure.
It's basically what it sounds like to me. There is gold out there,
yes.
Clearly. But you ain't gonna get it no matter how nifty or crafty you are.
Then there were 3 men who were nearly killed by a lightning strike while they were out in the woods looking for treasure. And another man who went seeking the buried gold is said to have lost his daughter to a strange illness soon afterward. And then his life was kind of, they say, cursed, that he just had like bad luck constantly until he died. And there is another area I do want to throw in. Old Cow Hole is supposed to be kind of... The area, it's kind of like a sinkhole, apparently full of water. I don't know that it's a sinkhole. That's how it's described. It's kind of in the middle of the woods. I've never been to Old Cow Hole because a lot of this property is now privately owned. You can't go off into the woods.
Makes sense. Someone bought it. They're like, hey, you know what? You see that hole way out yonder? I want to own that hole right there.
Yes. It's described as a bottomless sinkhole. I don't know how truthful that is. A lot of the phenomena seems to happen kind of around that area, and some believe that this is where the pirates buried their treasure, even though the water is not moving. I mean, it's not big enough really to have waves or anything.
Like currents.
It kind of has an appearance that it's swirling.
Ooh.
A lot of people say it's like a vortex. So I just...
There's a lot of paranormal stuff attached to water, so I mean...
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I just cheated, and I was looking at your thing, there's EVPs. You're not going to play EVPs for me, are you?
Yep.
Why? Remember the last time you did that? Oh my gosh, Jamie.
So now we're gonna talk about some of the things that I've had happen here at Old House Woods.
Jamie.
Very first trip to Old House Woods. We arrived, we pulled over on the side of the road. We were careful not to fall in the ditch because both sides of the road have large ditches. That's how they're like storm water.
Oh, like 3 feet off the ground.
It's a big ditch. The first thing we noticed when we got out of the car was a strong sulfur smell. The minute we got out of the car. I mentioned that with the...
You're starting off on the right foot.
Hellhounds. So that was the first thing. But I am going to say, is that because of paranormal or is that because it's swampy marshland and possibly giving off this smell? I will play devil's advocate to myself and say maybe.
That is fair. That is very fair. I didn't think about that.
But I am also going to say I am in this area a lot and I have never smelled this ever again.
Or not even that strong? You never smelled it at all?
I've never noticed the smell at all at any of the other times that I've been there.
Oh, that's interesting.
So I am going to say that, but I will play devil's advocate. Perhaps it's because of the marshland, but I can say that in all the other times I've been there, I have never smelled it again.
Okay.
We get out of the car. We're standing in the road. The car door, I left the car door open.
I would too.
While we were standing in the road, one of the car doors slammed shut.
But, oh my, Jamie!
At that point, I'm like, this is pretty cool. One of the people with us, it was an aunt, and she was like, we need to leave now. And I'm like, but I don't want to leave. And she's like, why do you have to be so goddamn hard-headed? And stomped off to the car, and I'm like, well, I guess we're leaving. And we get in the car, and we leave, and we go home.
Hold on. Yes. Just to put this out there, okay? Yes. A car door slammed.
Yep.
Okay? A car door slammed.
Mm-hmm.
How much force it takes to close the car door?
Right? Well, I'm going to talk about that. That's what I'm going next. We experimented with the car.
But your brain doesn't say run. It just says, let's stand here and figure out what happened.
Well, we didn't figure out. We left. We went back to the house, and that was it. Because it was at night. The next day, the next morning, my cousin and I go out. We need to figure out. Some car doors do not kind of latch. Uh-huh. Sometimes you're constantly kicking them to keep them open, and they close on their own. You know, the least little thing can make them close. So we needed to figure out, as good investigators, you know, is this something that did it by itself, you know, just a normal thing or what? So I had a Subaru Outback just at the time. So everybody knows what kind of car I had. We opened the doors. These doors, when you open them all the way, kind of latch open in a way.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, they're made so that they stand open. And we had to push it hard to close the door once it was in that position. And that is the position the door was in there because it was my door that slammed shut. Like, I'm the one who pushed it open. So I knew I had pushed it open, felt it.
Latch.
Kind of latch. It's not really a latch, but it sticks in place. So mm-hmm. It doesn't slam shut on you.
Yeah.
I felt it was open all the way. And I left it like that because we were actually on a road. We're half in the road because of the ditch. Not well traveled at all, but in case somebody came, I had to be able to move the car. I mean, that was part of my thinking in leaving the door open, was we might have to get in and move.
Yeah.
It required to shove. It actually kind of made like a creaking noise as it moved against the metal, like when you pushed it, like that's how hard you had to push it to close it.
Oh,
so geez. So that was a little creepy. But it's a little creepy. But
just a little dabble.
So we went on another investigation, and I have a photo from that one here that Tim mentioned early on.
Absolutely.
And this is actually a still shot from a video taken with an infrared camera. And the infrared camera was set up where we had parked the vehicle. It was set up towards the back of the vehicle on a tripod. Nobody was with the camera. You can see in the photo, we are down the road. I'm actually in the photo down the road. My cousin is there. There's three of us standing down the road.
I figured it out.
Oh, yeah?
So you show this to me,
mm-hmm.
and I've been looking, and I'm like, why does it... It's a front of a boat. I kid you not. Look, there's the front, windows down, and there's a side. So it makes like a triangle.
Well, this is a still shot. This thing moved. Okay, so it came in from the left side of the screen, mm-hmm. shot straight across the bottom, and then made almost a 90-degree turn and shot straight up. This light thing. It's a greenish light streak, kind of.
So is there someone behind this camera operating this?
No. Like, everybody who is there is in the shot down the road. Nobody is with the camera. The camera is at the back corner of the car on a tripod by itself.
So no one can alter it. No one can adjust it. No one can play it.
No.
So there is no way you can have a reason why this did what it did.
Right. That was weird. In that same investigation, we're walking down the road and we looked off to the side and it was like there was another person walking next to us, except it was just a torso. Just a quick glimpse.
Oh my God.
Snap your fingers, quick glimpse, torso, no head, no legs, you know, just saw like that torso part and it was gone. It was like that quick. It was gone.
That is so not cool, Jamie.
Yeah, I'm going to play an EVP for you now.
So. Yay! Jamie, what was that? That's not cool? No. No. Anybody out there that can decipher what was said or has an idea, you know, send us a message, send us an email. But I'm going to put this out there. That's not cool.
It's pretty cool. If you're an investigator and you're looking for something, it's pretty cool.
I got cold chills all down my back. I know people listening to this and like, he's such a pansy. I know they're saying it's okay. It's fine. I'm allowed to be one today.
It's not something I have not been able to figure out what it's saying. So I don't know. If somebody else has an idea, great. If not, that's fine too. But
you know, there's somebody out there that has some weird technology, decipher. It's crazy.
Yes. That was one investigation. This is another investigation. We were there, and we didn't leave the car this time. We stayed in the car, which usually when you're investigating, you don't want to do that. You don't want to take pictures from a vehicle, from a moving vehicle, because...
blurriness and glare.
Dust. Well, if you the windows are open, dust and everything, screw up the photo. You know, you've got the, you know, exhaust from the car, whatever. You need to make sure you don't create something that could cause you to think you're taking a picture of something paranormal and it's not. I was driving. My aunt was in the passenger seat next to me.
The one that called you stubborn or hard?
No.
Okay.
No. This was a different aunt. This is my Aunt Patsy. She was in the passenger seat next to me. My cousin Kelly. This was Kelly's mom. My cousin Kelly is behind me in the back seat. And I had both of my children with me. So my son was little. He was in a car seat.
Easy.
Yes. And my daughter... Bridget was there too. She's probably 14, 15. She was like freshman, sophomore year of high school. I'm about based on Ethan's age. So Ethan is asleep in the car seat. So that's why we didn't leave the car. We weren't leaving. You know, it was just kind of a let's go to Old House Woods type of thing.
Right.
We're in the car and we did have our digital recorders recording. We each had one. So we use, I know my family, Tim's trying really hard not to laugh. My family, we have several of these recorders. They're the Panasonic RRDR60s. They are being sold on eBay for $2,000 right now.
Oh.
So keep laughing. Just to say, we all have a digital recorder out our window. My cousin, my aunt, we're all holding them out the window. I hear something. I hear this very distinct metallic clicking sound. And it kind of reminded me if somebody's wearing one of those chains that they put on their wallets.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
And it's like the wallet's in their front pocket and it's hooked to the belt loop kind of there. And the chain's hitting itself. It sounded like metal hitting itself rhythmically while somebody's walking.
Ooh.
Okay, that's how I described it. I turned to my cousin behind me and I ask her, do you hear that noise? I don't tell her what the noise is, what, for a reason. You know, do you hear that? Do you hear that noise? And she says, you mean that metallic clicking noise? And at that instant, my aunt goes, there's somebody over here. Immediately, I take off. The car was running. I throw it into drive. I take off. I'm holding all of my recorder in one hand. I've got like an EMF detector in the other hand. I'm driving using the steering wheel like with the back of my hand. I'm trying to hold all this stuff and we're like flying down the road to get out of there
while you're shizzing your pants.
Yes. So that was pretty freaky moment, mostly because I was more concerned that there was an actual person.
Oh yeah.
There. I mean, I'm way more afraid of the living than I am the dead.
Well, that's the thing too, not a lot of people take in consideration here. You're out there in the dark, you know what I mean? And it would be great to say, hey, this is well facilitated, everything is safe, but then all of a sudden you got people saying, well, they're staging this, they're staging,
right,
this is raw, out there and open. You don't know who's out there.
Right, and I do want to play another EVP. Now, this one is more humorous because this is me recording as this is happening. Okay, so this is an actual recording of it going down.
This is Jamie. We're at Old House Woods. Is there anybody here with us? What is that? Have you heard a noise?
So that's the account of what
your
happened.
Scooting boogie is on point. I'm gonna put that out. You said y'all hear that, and all of a sudden you go, "What is someone over here?" Boom! You throw it down a low and go.
Yeah. So I do want to point out there is actually an EVP in there. Oh. If you listen to it, I say, you know, you hear that, you know, do you hear that? And my cousin says something. I say that noise. And she goes, you mean the weird clicking noise? You can't hear my aunt respond because, you know, my recorder's pointed the other way. But at that point, there is a very guttural, just very quick thing. And then all of a sudden you hear me accelerate. There actually is a small EVP in there.
Man.
But it's funny as crap because we freaked out big time. I ran the stop sign. There's no traffic here. There's no stoplights. There's no cars, but we took off.
Hey, look, I'm going to let you know that takeoff that you hear in there, you weren't playing.
That was not.
You put that lead foot down.
I did. No. Yeah, I was driving my mom's car, but, you know.
Shh. Don't tell her.
There was another investigation we did. It was myself, my cousin Kelly, my Aunt Patsy, who went there a lot with them. We were...
The scary clinking metal noise wasn't enough for you. That's fine.
Oh, gosh, no. So we were, you know, parked the car, we're there, and the trunk opened on its own.
So you get out after the clinky metal noise, you come back...
This is a different time.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. Yeah. You come back, and you go, hey, let's go back, visit again, and let's get out of the car.
Yeah. So we...
Reasonable.
Didn't check the trunk there on the road. We left, we went down to the parking area at the beach, and then got out and closed the trunk because we weren't getting, we just weren't checking it there in the woods. Again, the next day, during daylight, we decide, did we accidentally hit the latch?
To unlock the trunk.
To unlock the trunk, because the latch was down near the floor. The answer is no. There was not a way to accidentally do that without realizing that you had caught your foot on the latch and yanked your foot off of the latch to pop it open.
Yeah, so it's not one of those push button ones. You actually got to pull it.
You actually had to pull it, and it was not in a spot where your foot would just, it was kind of awkward. It was an awkward position. It would not have been something you could do without realizing it. And nobody in that car would have done it on purpose. Sometimes we may have taken people who would have done it to scare us on purpose, but the people who were there, the three of us, pretty serious about this stuff, would not have done that. So I, you know, to play devil's advocate for myself again, that wasn't an option either. But I do have one more EVP.
Oh, great.
Can you tell me your name? Anybody looking for pirate gold?
So I actually played those two EVPs, not one.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Those are good.
Yeah.
Those are good.
Yeah.
Wow.
For anybody not familiar, EVPs are electronic voice phenomena, and it's basically a recording of a voice that is not there, that you don't hear yourself while you're recording.
Is there any cell phone towers, radio towers that are near that you could possibly pick up on?
I have a very bad signal there at that beach. I'm lucky if I get a signal. I would say the answer is probably no.
So authentic. These are 110% authentic.
Yeah.
You guys kind of already went through, I'm sorry, you gals already went through and made sure that there's no way this could be faked.
No, it certainly wasn't anything, you know, fake. We didn't have any other radios or anything, you know, nothing else electronic on us at the time.
And then also, I mean, if you want to be kind of dishonest here, I don't care, radio frequency or not, nothing pops your trunk open.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's other stuff going on at the same time, so.
And also, you being just a genuine, honest person, good person, I don't think you'll fake any of this either.
No, I'm pretty serious about this.
I
want to further paranormal field. I don't want to hinder it, so I try to be really careful about what I present as evidence, because in this field, you have to prove it by disproving everything else.
It's a great field. That's the one thing that a lot of people, I think, kind of mistake with paranormal investigators and things like that. What they want, what they think everybody wants is, you know, every time you hear a creak at night, we go ghost. It's no, it's more along the lines of, well, what could cause that creak?
Yes.
Is the floor bad? Is there something above? Is there someone on the outside? And once you kind of go through a long list and you realize, hey, any investigator that's worth their weight, you know, that can carry themselves, you know, they go, hey, we went through all these checkpoints and nothing sounds like this. Okay, then that gives you what could make the noise then.
Yeah, I mean, that you do have your people who they hear a little noise and, oh my gosh, it's a ghost. Or they take a photo of an orb and, oh my gosh, it's a ghost. But orb photos, I mean, we'll get into those at some point, I'm sure. There's a million things that can photograph as an orb in a photo. So you can't even use those anymore as really good evidence. I don't want to hinder it anymore because it's not really a true science. There's really no way to really definitively prove any of it right now. Hopefully in the future there is, but I don't want to make it go backwards. I want to try to further
propel it forward.
Yes. Anyway, that's not done with strange stuff. We were on the beach one time. We saw this strange man start walking from further up the beach. He kind of came out of nowhere.
So he's like walking towards you.
He's walking towards us from further up the beach.
All right.
Closer up to the point. Kind of where if you can walk a very long stretch of beach, but if you're looking at the Google map, it would be up towards the point he was walking south. He came from the north area walking south. He was wearing a green and white horizontal striped shirt, like a rugby shirt.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the, I mean, is that what they call them nowadays? Mm-hmm. The rugby shirt?
Rugby.
I don't know. He had calf length khakis on, so like capris, but not capris. He walked past us. He never said a word. He never acknowledged us, never looked at us. And then after he passed, I kind of eventually looked down to see where he had gone, and he was not there.
Do you think he can cut up into the woods?
No, there's no, when he walked past where the woods were, passed down where you would walk to go to the car, heading down the beach, and there's no woods down where he had headed towards.
Could he went for a jolly old swim?
I didn't see anybody.
All right, so you don't see him in the water? You don't see
him? There's no noise, no. I mean, I didn't see anybody.
And on the beach, I mean, you can see pretty far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've seen, you know, people have mentioned the lights, the ghost lights in the woods.
Yeah.
I have seen those.
It's like the, like, lantern lights.
Yes, I have seen that on investigations before.
Could you imagine seeing that? Oh,
that's not scary. That's not very scary to me at all. I mean, like, I know, like, the ghost woman, I say I wouldn't be scared, and I may be a little scared, but not to the point where I would leave. I mean, it would scare me, but, yeah, the ghost lights aren't scary at all.
They look like dimmers or anything like that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, can you describe them? Like from a person.
It's just like somebody was carrying a lantern.
Wow.
I mean, like a lantern light. It's not like a flashlight where you can see the beam. It's
right.
Not a beam of light. It's a point of light, like a glow. So if somebody were carrying a candle lantern, that's what it looked like.
And you know, the funny thing is some of the listeners might be like, I don't know what you're talking about. Light a candle in a dark room. Make sure nothing's around so you catch a little fire. But, you know, walk away for a few feet and look at it. And then take a flashlight, turn a flashlight, or even on your phone, turn it on, flip it upside down after you blow the candle out, and look at the difference.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
Just the
color,
there's a difference.
Yes, it's a definite difference. So I did mention true crime, so I do want to, I'm not going to talk about it in detail, I'm just going to throw it out there. In that same area, there was a Virginia Commonwealth University student that had gone missing, and she actually was found not far from Old House Woods. But the person who was arrested and convicted for her murder, they actually had been in that area the same time we had been in that area, which that was really
scary.
I mentioned before when we heard, my aunt said somebody was coming up to the car, and I'm more afraid of the living than the dead. That is why. It was recent history, and I don't like to go too much into true crime that there's still people
that could be hurt by this.
That could be hurt by discussing it.
That's sad to hear that, too.
You know, it's such a nice community and a rural community. He wasn't from that community. It wasn't like he lived there. He just was familiar with the area, kind of like we are. But
yeah, you frequently visit an area enough,
you can
learn your way around.
Yeah. So that is the history, stories of Old House Woods. I would say there's really not too many conclusions to draw with this. It's haunted. It's been haunted for hundreds of years.
I'm split. I don't know if I want to go see it or not.
You do. I go there all the time. I mean, I go there all the time in the daytime. It's creepy in the daytime, too, but it's a pretty cool place. I mean,
am I allowed to bring my gun with
me? I'm going to point out, gun's really not very effective against something that's already dead.
Okay, I'm cool. Oh, look, I'm, dead's cool with it. All right,
I do have some holy water. You could put it in a super soaker if that made you feel better.
I love a super soaker.
With holy water.
We can do that.
That's right.
It's a holy soaker.
We can.
It's a holy soaker, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
All right. Well, that concludes this episode. Our next episode should drop on Friday.
I'm ready for this. I'm ready for the next one.
Might have some aliens or UFOs in it, just saying.
And I promise y'all I won't be such a pansy on that one. That the only thing I'll be honest, the only thing I don't like about this, okay, I'm putting it out there, is the ship part. Okay, I don't like the ships.
The ships?
Yep, I don't like that.
Nope. So, like, skeletons and armor with swords and redcoats with swords are not scary?
Honestly, it's going to sound really stupid. No. That doesn't bother me too much. The ships do. Because all I'm envisioning, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, like, over top you and just...
Okay, but it's a ghost ship, Tim, so I don't think it could really smush you.
Well, we didn't think it'll make wakes in the water either.
True. I'll give you that.
Okay.
So, all right. Well, we are done with this episode. And if you like what you hear, please subscribe.
And then if you also want to get a little fancy with it, you can follow us on Instagram at
lurk.podcast.
Follow us on Facebook at
lurkpodcast.
And send us an email at
lurkpodcast@yahoo.com.
I hope you all have a great rest of your day.
All right. We'll see you later.